Good morning, church. It is so good to be with y'all today. I am Jordan Baker. I'm the youth pastor here. So you're stuck with me this morning since Chad decided to take a nice, lovely vacation, a well-needed one. So you have me today. With that, first, before we get started here, I want to just thank everyone. From last week, we had the church had a little baby shower for Alyssa and myself, and lots of y'all had kind words to share, prayers, gifts, you name it. And I just want to take a moment to thank each of y'all through this whole process of our pregnancy. And so thank you so very much, and those words don't even capture just how grateful we truly are of everyone and your blessings. So with that, let's pray, and we'll get into the word together. Jesus, we are here expecting you. Lord, we already know that you've been here in this room. You've been here with us long before we ever acknowledged that you are here. And so, Jesus, we ask, may you open the eyes of our hearts so that we may see you, know you, and experience you. We pray this through the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. Amen. So we've been going through this, the Sermon on the Mount for what feels like the whole entire year so far. It has been 3 to 4 months now that we've been journeying through Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus gives his big old sermon, teachings, that is the foremost importance for those who follow Jesus. This is Jesus outlining what it looks like to follow and to live in the way of the kingdom of God. And so we've been spending each and every week looking at this. And for the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at these three images that Jesus gives us towards the end of the sermon. And this week, we're going to be spending our time concluding the Sermon on the Mount with his third and final image. If you would say, this would be the conclusion to the sermon. This is Jesus wrapping up everything he is talking about with this last section here, with this last image. And so before we get going into the word today, we need to, I think it's appropriate, because if you're like me, I'll be honest, I don't always remember what we talked about the weeks before. I sometimes need a refresher. And if we've been talking for 3 to 4 months now on the Sermon on the Mount, I'm going to give you my quick shorthanded notes and summary of the Sermon on the Mount, so that we can understand that the culmination of everything that Jesus has been teaching falls to where we're at today. And so with that, I'm going to go through this quick. That's not, by no means is this to disregard the teachings of Jesus, but the Sermon on the Mount is a long sermon with a lot of points, and so I'm going to try to summarize these very quickly for you. They'll be on the screen as well. So Jesus starts the Sermon on the Mount by teaching us what the promise of a blessed life looks like for those who follow Jesus. By being the salt and light, of the world, people will see Jesus and the world will be transformed. You know, Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. See, followers of Jesus reconcile with all people. Jesus wants us to honor marriage by no divorcing. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Do not return evil and violence with evil and violence. Instead, return it all with love. The evidence of God's love in us is our ability to love those who hate us. Give generously. Pray authentically. Fast. Invest in eternal treasure. Seek first the kingdom and trust God will provide all that you need. judge yourself before you help others find God. Pray and ask God, because he hears your prayers. And do to others as you would have them do to you. All this is the culmination, the summarization of the Sermon on the Mount, and we end his sermon after his teachings, after a long time of him guiding us to what it looks like to be citizens of the kingdom of God. And so Jesus says that since you've heard all these things, what will it be for you? So Jesus finishes his sermon like this. In Matthew 7, starting in verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." This is a simple yet profound parable. And if you've been in the church long enough, you probably know a song about this. You probably have seen pictures about this. You've probably seen videos about this. You've probably heard this once or twice. And yet Jesus gives us this very simple image to conclude his message. And yet what he is saying is so profound and so poignant for us today. See, we translate these words from Greek. We translate these words from Greek, and our English sometimes does not capture the fullness of what is being said. See, Jesus used specific and important words, and the word and we translate this Greek into this word that says anyone who hears. In English, we don't capture what Jesus is truly saying by our word hear. In English, we talk about hearing as something we can hear, as something that comes into our ears. For if you have children, you know that there is a deeper meaning to hearing than just to hear. Alyssa, my wife, knows that there's a deeper meaning because I sometimes hear her tell me that the folded clothes on the bed are to be put away by the end of the day before she gets home. I hear her, but I don't hear her. Because then I go to sleep that night and the clothes are on the bed still. So I gotta pick them up, put them on the ground, and go to sleep. And then I have to hear again the next day. The clothes are on the floor. They need to be put away. And there goes the truth. But Jesus uses a word that is just beyond, not just hearing, just knowing what something was said, but it has a deeper meaning that you not only hear, but you meditate on it. You meditate. You think about it. You reflect on it. You reflect and seek to understand what is being said. The clothes are on the bed. Okay. Meditate on it. Think about it. Let it get in the atmosphere. Let it be there. But then it also speaks of that if one who has properly heard is one who then acts upon what has been meditated on. What has been heard, what has been deeply meditated on, then acts upon. So Jesus says, anyone who hears my words and puts them into action. For listening and obeying are one and the same. For you can hear Jesus' words and think that they are really nice. Jesus might be onto something with the Sermon on the Mount. You know, maybe if we all just live that way. You know, maybe if we just sought to live better lives. You know, Jesus. Jesus says it's not enough to just listen to the Sermon on the Mount. See, Jesus says that those who actually listen put into practice what is said, what is taught by him. They obey his teachings, and they will be the ones that are saved when the winds and the waves and the come. See, for the people of Jesus, this was a very live and real reality for them. For them, they had two seasons, just like we have two seasons. We've got a tourist season and we got winter. And for them, they had the dry season and they had the rainy season. In the dry season, it was just exactly what it was. It was just dry. But in the dry season, they had to prepare their crops and their homes, because when it would rain for months on end, the water would flood the rivers, the bodies of water, and they would overflow. They would flood cities. They would flood towns. They would flood crops. They would flood their livelihoods. And if they weren't properly prepared, then when the time came, all their livelihood would be destroyed. And so Jesus meets them where they're at and invites them to build their lives, build their homes and their lives just like they do every day, with wisdom and preparation. With wisdom and preparation. And so now Jesus uses this image of the home that is so alive with everyone of his time. So alive. See, Jesus uses the image of a home as our own very lives. He says that the wise person builds their life on the rocks. Throughout Scripture, we see this image of the rock being Jesus, being God and Jesus himself. And so Jesus says that if you are to be a wise person, you build your life on Jesus and his teachings. He says the wise person is the one who seeks to live out the Sermon on the Mount in every aspect of their lives. In every part of their being, they seek to live and align their lives with the person of Jesus Christ and his teachings. See, this wise person is one who meditates day and night on the very word of God, the very person of Jesus. All throughout Scripture, we have images, we have pictures of what it looks like to meditate on the word of God, the very person of God. See, in Psalm 1, the author reflects on what it looks like when we meditate. We build our lives on the foundation of God and his teachings and seek to live that out. In Psalm 1, starting in verse 2, the author writes this. He says, that person's delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Throughout Scripture, it's an invitation to meditate on the very word of God. It's an invitation for a deeper relationship by putting your faith and trust in the person of Jesus and then meditating and acting and living according to the ways of Jesus Christ. That is the wise person. But on the other hand, you have the foolish person. Jesus says that there's also, if there's a wise person, there's a foolish person. And in this case, this foolish person hears the teachings of Jesus. It's not someone who doesn't know the teachings of Jesus. The foolish person is someone who has heard the teachings of Jesus, who has heard Jesus, and yet does not put in practice what he teaches, does not build their life on the firm foundation of the person of Jesus Christ and seek to live out his ways. See, the foolish person, this foolish person can look just like a wise person. A foolish person can look just like a wise person because they really truly appreciate the teachings of Jesus. They really like this Jesus guy. They talk highly of him. They may even read the scriptures. They may show up to church. They may show up to religious events or seek to give, to love, to be kind to people, but yet they never fully orient their life on the person of Jesus. They never fully orient their life in the way of Jesus. And when the wind and the rain come, their foundation is shaky and they are wiped away. They are wiped away. So on my road where I live, I think, you can correct me, Edens, I think there's 3 people that live on our road full-time and there's like 20 houses. They all come in the summer. All these homes all look the same. I think 3 houses are actually winterized. I think about 3 houses are winterized because everyone, come fall, comes up, and they do all the preparations to make sure their cabins would survive in the winter. From the untrained eye like myself, I would think their houses are perfectly fine and do nothing for the winter. Ergo, I'd come back in the sun, I'd come back when it's nice out and all my pipes would be nicely destroyed, and I would have thousands upon thousands of dollars worth of repairs that I would need. Houses look the same around here. I can't tell, and I don't know if maybe many of you know which houses are winterized and which ones aren't. But you only know the difference when it comes to spring, after the wind, after the storm, after 8 months of snow has, and 30 below weather has come. You can tell which houses were properly maintained, were built properly for the winter, who had taken the time and care to prepare their homes for the winter, and who didn't. Jesus says the wise man, the wise person, prepares for the winter. The wise person builds a home that is built to last. A fool, it's got 4 walls, it's going to last. It'll make the winter. Comes back with damage and destruction and repairs galore. And all of our builders in town have worked for the summer. See, Jesus is inviting us to be like the wise person. See, Jesus says that those who actually put their faith in him actually live out his teachings will find that they will be transformed into people who will withstand all things. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Philippi. He writes to this church and he tells them what it looks like for his own self when he builds his life on the person of Jesus Christ and seeks to live out the teachings of Jesus. He writes to them and says this. He says, "For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength." The wise person finds Jesus to be their strength in all circumstances of life. When the wise person builds their life on the person of Jesus and his teachings, they are content in all things. Paul faced shipwrecks. He faced death. He faced starvation. He faced jailings. He faced all sorts of wild things, and yet he could stand and write to the church and say, In all things, I can do it all through Christ who gives me strength. That is the wise person. That is what Jesus is inviting us to do. For the foolish person, for the foolish one, will be destroyed. They'll be wiped away. No amount of good sayings or positive vibes or even right beliefs will save them. They may have everything figured out, but if they don't base their life and orient their entire being to the person of Jesus and his teachings and seek to live them out, when the wind and the rain comes, they'll be washed away. They'll be destroyed. It'll be as if they never were there. And so, if you let me nerd out for a second here, there are two different ways in which historically the church, the universal church, has understood this parable, the conclusion of Jesus' message. And the first way that the church has understood this message, this invitation, is that Jesus is talking about the final judgment. That when Jesus comes back, he's going to judge the living and the dead. And those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and sought to live in the way of the kingdom of God, they will face Jesus, and he will welcome them in. They will welcome them into heaven, where they will experience a deeper relationship with the God of the universe and a deeper relationship with a new creation. So when the winds and the waves come, they will stand firm. They will stand firm at final judgment. But those who are foolish and have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and have not sought to live in his ways, then will face destruction. They'll face death and destruction. And the second way that the church has understood this passage is not only is this final judgment, but is that the winds and the waves represent just everyday life. That we live in a broken world where things are thoroughly messed up and not the way that they should be. And so we get beat with winds, we get beat with rain, we get floods. But Jesus says that when we build our lives here in this world, when we build our lives on the person of Jesus and his teachings, we will stand firm in all things. We'll be like the Apostle Paul. When I'm hungry, when I'm full, when things are going my way, when they are not, I can stand firm in the person of Jesus Christ. See, the wise person is one that when the gas prices are really high, when groceries cost significantly more, the wise person is the one that when you have to work more to make ends just meet, or when the way that you're used to living has been flipped upside down in the last few years, or when your health fails, or when your children walk out on you and leave you, or when the national leaders fail you, or when vacationers get under your skin, or when global warming is getting dangerously high, or when cable news seeks to divide us more and more, and when alcohol and drugs ruin lives, the wise person can still stand firm on the foundation of Jesus and his teachings when we live them out. See, Jesus is inviting each one of us to be wise men who build their lives on Jesus Christ. For Jesus is inviting us to a better way of living, one rooted in himself, one that stands firm in the middle of all chaos. And being the wise man, being the wise person, is not always easy. Trusting and obeying Jesus and following in his ways are not always easy. But Jesus says that you will be blessed. Throughout Scripture, it tells us that you will stand firm. You will be content in all things. See, the thing is, Jesus will not force you to follow him. He loves you too much to force you to follow. But he is inviting you today, church, from everything that you have heard for the last 3 months. So what will it be for you? What will it be for you? Because you'll walk out of here and you'll be tempted to dehumanize those who have different political beliefs than you. But Jesus says to love them, to pray for them, to bless them, because they have immeasurable worth in the eyes of Jesus. See, you're going to walk out of here and you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted to criticize people you think are doing it wrong because you know better. But Jesus says, judge yourself first and work on yourself first. See, you're going to be tempted to walk out of here. You're going to be tempted to walk out of here and seek safety and comfort from evil and violence through evil and violent ways. But yet Jesus says to be gentle and kind and return evil and violence with self-giving, self-sacrificial love. For you will be tempted to be anxious over everything, and yet Jesus says, be still. Know that I am God, that I am with you, and that I will provide for you. And so, church, it's your choice. It's your choice. Will you be the wise man and step deeper into the invitation to know Jesus greater? So in the next few moments, our worship team is going to play a song. This is your moment to do business with God. Your moment. You can spend time deciding what you're going to do, or you can just sit. Do nothing. Sing, that's fine. But I want you to do whatever you need to do with God in these moments. For you've heard for the last 3 to 4 months Jesus' teachings, an invitation to know him deeper and to live into the kingdom of God in a deeper way. And the choice is yours. So take whatever posture you need in this time, for it is a time with you and the Lord.